This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight we're talking about Malaysia coming in 32nd out of 63 countries in a world competitiveness ranking. So first, we look at what this means for us and what it means to be a competitive player. And then, who are the top performers in our region and what could we be learning from them? Tell us, how can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07. So the world competitiveness ranking is put out by the International Institute for Management Development, and Malaysia has ranked 32nd out of 63 economies in this year. So this is actually quite a big drop for us. We were previously ranked 25th, and now we're 32nd. So there are a few different things that form the assessment criteria for the ranking. This includes things like economic performance, government efficiency, business efficiency and infrastructure. And if we break down how we did on those fronts, Malaysia ranked 12th when it came to economic performance, 38th in government efficiency and business efficiency, 37th when it comes to infrastructure. The report also said that Malaysia had experienced the sharpest downturn in its business efficiency. It's also fallen the furthest for its ranking when it comes to infrastructure. And if we look at the main challenges that the Institute thinks Malaysia is facing, these include a number of things that I think will sound pretty familiar: expanding regulatory reform initiatives to micro levels through public-private collaborations, enhancing. So they also face challenges when it comes to enhancing technological adoption so as to increase productivity. We haven't been doing necessarily so well with accelerating talent development initiatives so as to keep up with emerging job challenges, as well as to create a future-ready workforce. And we also have been lagging when it comes to strengthening productivity and competitiveness through a change of mindset as well as creativity. So there's a lot there to unpack, really, when it comes to apparently the things that we could be doing a lot better in. But I think it is quite useful to look at this through the sense of what this ranking is meant to be, right? A comparison. So Denmark is actually in the top spot of the list. This is mainly due to things like good policies, having advantages when it comes to being a small country with a European market, as well as their heavy focus on sustainability. And if we bring it closer to home, a number of interesting things that are happening. So our neighbours, countries like Thailand and Indonesia, haven't necessarily been doing so well in the rankings either. So Thailand dropped from 28th to 33rd, Indonesia from 37th to 44th. And the study attributes this to the slow reopening of the economy post-COVID-19, particularly in comparison to countries like the United States or those in the European Union. Meanwhile, China has also dropped one spot from 16 to 17. This is actually a reversal from a strong upward trend in the past few years. And largely, this reflects their struggle with economic recovery as well as their zero COVID strategy. That said, though, China is still one of the top performers in the Asia-Pacific region, alongside another neighbour of ours, Singapore, which has landed on number 3. Hong Kong is number 5 and Taiwan is number 7. Meanwhile, looking again also at Asia, the largest climber is actually India. They've jumped from 37 to 43 after 4 years of not showing any growth. And that's primarily due to improvements in their economic performance as well as business efficiency. So all of this, I think, provides quite an interesting backdrop from which to examine our own capacity when it comes to this, right? Our economic competitiveness. And so that's what we're going to try and unpack after this. We're going to be discussing first what our own performance in the rankings indicates. And then later, we're going to look at top performers in the region and what we could be learning from them. We're talking about the fact that Malaysia has come in 32nd out of 63 countries in a world competitiveness ranking. So we'd like to hear from you. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Dr. Ong Kian Ming, MP for Bangi and former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:12. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila, and we're talking about Malaysia's placing in the world competitiveness ranking. We're number 32 out of 63 countries, so we're going to try and understand what that means. We would like to hear from you. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Ong Kian Ming, MP for Bangi, as well as former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry. Kian Ming, good to have you with us again.
Hi, hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can. Before we get into the breakdown of the rankings, how would you define economic competitiveness?
I think from the perspective of those who answer this question, it would be transparency in the way government does things. It would be policy stability in terms of the way government gives out incentives and the way the government taxes, and also a larger economic ecosystem whereby you can get access to good human capital as well as financing. I think those will be some of the basic parameters that companies, whether it's domestic or international, are looking for in any economically competitive country.
So we've slipped 7 points in the overall ranking from last year. Was this expected given the pandemic?
I think that when we see these kinds of gyrations in the ranking system, we need to realize that there are many different rankings out there, whether it's the IMD, rankings that you're referring to, or the World Economic Forum Global Competitiveness Report rankings, or even the World Bank Global Competitiveness Index. I think, if let's say I was back in MITI as a minister, I would ask my staff to release a press statement to say that, look, we are cognizant and we are aware of this drop in rankings. We try to understand the different components within the rankings where we have dropped a couple of points, and we will try to address that as soon as we can and not run away from the problem, which I think tends to be the preference of some of the ministers now. That being said, I think one also needs to look at the context of the rankings. When you look at the gyrations of some of the other countries, Hong Kong actually went up 2 spots, and China went up 1 spot. And we need to understand that these measurements are based on last year's respondents. If you ask any foreign multinational whether they want to pour in a lot of FDI into Hong Kong and China in 2022 and even 2023, I think they will be much more circumspect. So, that is just to give a context to the flavor of the rankings and not to get too overexcited one way or the other.
Do the rankings align with the economic data that our country is reporting?
I think one needs to be cognizant of the fact that, let's say, from a foreign direct investment standpoint, the numbers for Malaysia are actually pretty good. When I look at the figures from 2021, foreign direct investment inflows, committed inflows, not implemented, reach a pretty good record. These IMD kind of global competitiveness rankings does not take into account what the investors are looking for, what they're feeling on the ground. Right. That being said, this does not mean that the foreign investors in Malaysia are not feeling a lot of challenges and a real, obstacles on the ground. So, for example, the inability to hire workers, inflation, supply chain issues, government uncertainty when it comes to certain tax policies. I think it's more important for government agencies like Ministry of Finance and also MITI to address these, the real life problems that companies, both domestic and local, are facing, and to use the indicators to guide them towards trying to resolve some of these problems on the ground.
If we dig into the specific points that the study looks at, right? Let's look at the positive. The ranking for us, particularly for economic performance, we've ranked 12th. It's also the highest thing that we've ranked for. What are some of the possible factors for this?
Well, I think the outlook for growth in Malaysia is pretty good. We have pretty good fundamentals that has been there for a long time, despite the inability of government to actually make full use of these capabilities, such as a diversified economy, all revenues, palm oil, E&E, manufacturing, service sector. Right. So I think that's a sort of like a reflection of the underlying strength of the economic of the Malaysian economy. But you know, there are other challenges, and I think when we look at the sub components within the ranking on things like governance, things like you know, efficiency of some of our processes, you know, the openness of our financial system, I think these are things which I think need to improve you know, over time, so that we don't just aspire to be, let's say, back in our own old position of being you know, 25th, but we can aim to be a top 10 country from a perspective of global competitiveness.
Do you think Malaysia stands out in any specific way for our approach to being competitive?
I think we have been relying on many natural advantages, in addition to what I talked about just now from a diversified economy and our natural resources. We also have a pretty good workforce. We've also managed to have a system whereby we can rely on a certain number of foreign workers to you know, be in the system to help in different sectors of the economy. But I think with a changing economic structure that focuses much more on higher value added activities as well as products, I think the structure of the Malaysian economy, especially from a human capital standpoint, also needs to change. But unfortunately, I think many of our policies have not aligned to get us towards that direction.
Now, on the other hand, if we look at where we didn't do as well, categories like government and business efficiency, as well as infrastructure, we've dropped quite a bit on those. The report does highlight areas that need improving. This includes things like enhancing tech adoption, improving our talent development initiatives. What's your take on this assessment?
Yeah, I think those challenges have always been there. And for me, as a policymaker, as a member of parliament, and as a former member of government, again, you know, I take these indicators as a sign of the things that we need to improve, right? So infrastructure, for example, we know we are growing our public transportation system. We've just launched first part of the MRT line too. But in terms of the you know, the feeling on the ground, we still need to improve connectivity from the perspective of having enough buses in terms of our bus network. We still need to have better walkways and pathways so that we can get to the MRT station and the LRT station in a way that's safe and also convenient, right? So I think when we look at all these issues, the devil is always in the detail, and that's why we need to have good civil servants. We need to empower them, and also we need to have good politicians who have their pulse on the ground to know what are the pain points so that they can work together with the civil servants to resolve these issues on the ground.
We have a message from a listener, Raymond, who says, to improve on the index and ranking is to know the measures and the things they measure to derive the score, and then to address low-hanging fruits or to highlight ambiguities. And I wanted to ask you to weigh in. What are some low-hanging fruits that we could immediately work on?
Okay, so I can't speak to this index, but I'm more familiar with the World Economic Forum Global Competitiveness Report. So one indicator that they do measure is the number of days it takes to register a business. When I was at MITI and also a short time at MOF, these were one of the indicators that both ministries and also other related ministries were working hard towards in terms of reducing the number of days it takes to start a business from 13 days to like, you know, 3 to 5 days. The sort of like, you know, gold star is actually New Zealand. That you know, and Singapore, that you need to take about 1 or 2 days to register a business. So I think those are low-hanging fruit that we can work out. And many businesses already know what these low-hanging fruits are. Many ministries also know. But whether or not the ministers know, whether or not they are willing to, you know, take the time out to go and, you know, go down to the nitty-gritty, I think that, you know, I think the listeners can, you know, judge that answer for themselves, answer that question for themselves.
So we are sort of middle of the pack when it comes to this ranking, right? And earlier you mentioned that we should be striving to break into the top 10. But I was wondering, realistically, is that feasible for us?
Of course it is. You know, people will tell us that it's not feasible for us to be the top 10. I think, you know, they are sort of like probably... you know, victims of thinking of being trapped in Malaysia that's very negative. I think for perhaps good reasons, historical reasons, but I think we need to aspire to be better. And I myself, when I was in government, I saw the very potent combination when the civil service can work together with capable ministers and deputy ministers to change the way a ministry works, whether it's MITI, Ministry of Finance, MESTEC and whatnot. So if we get our act together, if we have an all-of-government approach towards an all-of-society approach towards trying to identify and resolve these pain points, I'm sure that we can be within the top 10 within 10 years, if not sooner.
And what about this current stage of our economic recovery? What do you think our challenges are in remaining competitive at this point in time?
Okay, I'm actually quite bullish about the Malaysian economy. I think that it will grow at the projected rates that was announced by Bank Negara as well as MOF, somewhere between 5.8 to 6.3%, if my memory serves. But there are challenges. Of course, I think our readers, your listeners know what they are. I think the specter of inflation going up is something that's very very serious. The uncertainty with regards to the value of the ringgit further depreciating also can cause a lot of issues with regards to imported inflation. And then we have continued uncertainties at the global level vis-a-vis the war in Ukraine that may further these kinds of inflationary pressures and global supply chain disruptions. And of course, we have an uncertain situation in China with regards to shutting down various parts of the country after we get a couple of tens or hundreds of COVID cases. So I think there's a lot of things that we need to manage from an external perspective. And even internally, I think some of the major issues we haven't really gotten our hands on is the issue of opening up our borders for foreign workers to come in, which I think needs to be done, but in a controlled and an efficient manner. And also trying to set policies to attract the right kind of investments that will be coming to Southeast Asia because of the US-China trade war and uncertainties in Europe and even from China once their economy opens up. So there's a lot of things to do domestically. But I think sadly, the situation is not very encouraging from the perspective of the policies that have been announced or not been announced by ministers in various ministries.
Are there other aspects of our economy that aren't being accounted for in these sorts of rankings that perhaps could paint a more accurate picture of where we stand globally?
Okay, I think Malaysia has done quite well in the digitalization process. And there are a couple of factors which will spur this on in a positive manner. The last 2 years of the pandemic has actually been good for digitalization, especially in the F&B sector, even in the retail sector, because they had no other choice. I think when we look at our e-wallet adoption, it's pretty high, comparatively, in the region. And this is also, a good sign for the fintech industry in Malaysia. So I think this kind of entrepreneurial spirit, especially in the startup ecosystem, may not be necessarily captured in such IMD rankings. And I think we need to further enhance our policies and also give room and assistance and also support to our entrepreneurs so that they can grow even more as the economy continues to open up and recover.
Kian Ming, what would you like to leave us with?
Don't be too affected by these year-by-year rankings. Look at the longer-term trajectory. Identify pain points. Tell the government what they are. Try to see whether you can come up with win-win solutions if you are somebody from the private sector. And hope that we can work together to try to resolve these problems. Even as an opposition MP, I think there's a role for me and my colleagues to play in trying to make our country a more competitive and economically vibrant one.
Kian Ming, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Ong Kian Ming, MP for Bangi, as well as former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, weighing in on our place in the World Competitiveness Ranking. We're 32 out of a list of 63 countries. After this, we'll be looking at the others who have ranked in the list and what lessons that we can take from that. We would like to hear from you. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages already. Let's see. Boye says, to be more competitive, we need to start producing and manufacturing instead of being a consumer country. And then also focusing on fully utilizing human capital, optimizing our natural resources and improving our business policies. As for our politicians, they also need to just not do stupid things and don't fight with each other. Stay calm and just think straight. The contrast between those two trains of thought, I love it. I think actually most of what you're talking about, Boy, is exactly the stuff that we haven't necessarily been doing so well in, according to that ranking, right? In terms of developing human capital. But on that note of our natural resources, that was something that our guest Ong Kian Ming also referred to earlier and talked about how we've often taken for granted that our natural resources are in some ways going to last us forever. And we are learning that that's not necessarily the case. So yes, those are some great points to think about. We also have Rosmawati, who says, for Malaysia to be better in the competitive index, we need to clean up the government sectors by removing ministries that don't show impact, reduce redundancy and overlap in roles. I'm always a fan of smaller governments, leaner governments. I feel like an effective government that does its job is much preferable to a large, sprawling one where there's a lot of bureaucracy to go through. And yeah, I think that's a great point. Let's see. We also have time, I think, for one more. Ali says, we had good rankings in the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business, where we ranked 12th. If the smart listeners can do better, please join up the civil service and do more. Talking alone doesn't help, or commenting only. Bermuda has shown that civil service can be very efficient. Yes, I mean, I don't think that the conversation necessarily precludes us joining the civil service to make a mark. But then I don't think that's necessarily the only way that people can make people can contribute to increasing our economic competitiveness, right? I mean, there's a part for everyone to play. And you could also choose to stay in the private sector and work towards those goals. But I think the important thing is that there needs to be an overall direction that the country is heading in that's cohesive. Do keep those thoughts coming. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call, WhatsApp and tweet us.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila, and today we are talking about Malaysia's ranking in the World Competitiveness Rankings. We are number 32 out of 63 countries. So earlier we heard about what this means for us, what we could be doing better. But now we're going to look at this from a regional perspective and look at how some of our nearby countries have done and what lessons we could be learning from that. We would like to hear from you. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now on the line is Carmelo Ferlito, CEO at the Centre for Market Education. Carmelo, always good to have you with us.
Good evening.
So firstly, how important are rankings like these in encouraging FDI and business into the country?
Well, I think they are important as far as the message that they want to launch reach out to the business community, which is not often the case, if I have to be honest. And so we don't have to overestimate their importance. So they play a role in shaping a mood. But I would say that investors looking at investing at an investment destination, they tend to look more at hard things, so like the conditions of the labor market, the presence of infrastructures, the command of English, so things that are more easily perceivable by an investor that enter a country. And often these indexes also reflect the biases or the values that are incorporated into the organization that produce these indexes. In example, if you look at the specific case that we are analyzing, one of the factors that is weighed in is values and attitudes of the business environment, which is something, you know, that in order to be measured requires a lot of assumptions and, you know, qualitative evaluation that I think probably business people don't look into too much.
Now, on an anecdotal level, at least, how has Malaysia been doing in terms of attracting FDI and business compared to our neighbours over the last decade?
I think that Malaysia has been on, let's say, on a growing trend up to probably 6-7 years ago. has been one of the dominant countries in the region. But then again, also these indexes, of course, the fact that the country goes down doesn't mean necessarily that the country is performing worst, but it may be the cases that the neighbor countries of our countries are performing better, are growing more, so are gaining competitiveness. And in this sense, I think that regionally speaking, Indonesia and Vietnam have really grown a lot in the past decade, and they are gaining fast positions.
So if we do look at the top performers in Asia Pacific, this includes China, Singapore, Hong Kong and Taiwan, what are some of the common factors that can be gleaned from their approach to this notion of economic competitiveness?
I think that probably if we reanalyze this index in some time, probably these countries will not perform that well. And in relative terms, they have grown because they have been open to foreign investors with favorable regulations, both in terms of hiring foreign talents and also facilitating foreign businesses to enter the country with a general favorable framework. But they have not been alien from a regional phenomenon that has been perceiving the foreigners as a threat that has emerged since the beginning of the pandemic. So in China is doing whatever it takes to kick out foreigners. They are even closing down English-speaking schools because they don't want the local population to have access to foreign media. So I guess that if we look probably with a different perspective, China will not perform that well very soon.
So speaking of China, while it has done well overall, it did slip one place in the rankings. And the institute behind the rankings has suggested that China should look into restructuring their economy from manufacturing towards high-value services and from investment to consumption. What effect would a shift like this have, not just on China's economy, but other countries in the value chain?
Well, again, I think that this kind of judgment reflects the biases or the values that the people doing the index have, because personally, in example, I don't value as positive a shift from investment to consumption, because an economy that is unbalanced toward consumption is an economy that is eating value rather than creating value. The creation of value happens at the investment moment. Consumption is where that value has been eaten. So if all the countries around the world grows in consumption and decline in investment, all of a sudden we will have nothing left to eat. So I guess that someone still needs to keep on investing and to keep on manufacturing. So if, however, as I believe, China will shift more toward the domestic consumption and being less the manufacturing place of the world, there is an occasion for Southeast Asia to gain position in that segment of the world supply chain.
We're discussing the World Competitiveness Ranking and specifically looking at the other countries in the region that have ranked on the list and what we can learn from that. We would like to hear from you. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll continue our conversation with Carmelo Ferlito from the Centre for Market Education after this. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Audacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:45. You're listening to Inside Story with Charmila, and we're discussing the World Competitiveness Rankings. Malaysia ranked 32 out of 63 nations. And so now we're looking at what we can learn from the other countries in the region and their place on the list. We are continuing our conversation with Carmelo Ferlito, CEO at the Centre for Market Education. But do keep those thoughts coming. How can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Carmelo, if we look at the rankings, one of the biggest jumpers is India, which rose six places after a four-year stall. And experts are actually pointing to its economic performance as well as business efficiency. Could you expand on this? And are there lessons here that Malaysia could adapt and implement?
I think that if we look also at the document that accompanied the ranking, the media statement, what has kept behind most of the countries in Southeast Asia has been the poor hard economic performance that has been due to the prolonged lockdowns that have been affecting this region. So this country opened very late, the last in the world. And in comparative terms, India instead has been more liberal, let's say, in terms of keeping its economy going. It is a huge country, so which presents also potentially a higher degree of domestic consumption. So is a producer of a lot of important commodities. And this has been accompanied by some reforms that have tried to modernize the legal framework of the country, the bureaucratic structure of the country. So in this sense, one is not India performing better because a higher degree of economic opening, while the other countries remaining closed, and the other has been the attempt to introduce some structural reforms.
So, I mean, exactly that, right? Countries like Thailand and Indonesia have dropped in the rankings, which the study specifically says is a slower reopening of the economy, which is, of course, pretty similar to our approach. Now, how can these so-called more cautious countries step up their game now?
Well, I think that they have stopped to be cautious, first of all, and that's probably what we really needed to move on from there. And now it will take time to regain what has been lost. Supply chains are heavily damaged around the world, and manufacturers from around the world are decreasing their sourcing in the region because it has become too complicated to get products from the region. So we need absolutely to re-accelerate our prospects of production. So to do whatever it takes for accelerating on the hard economy, I would say, with incentives and maybe with some fiscal reform in terms of diminishing taxation, in example, and try to speed up on free trade. I think that there is an agenda of free trade that has been, but real free trade. I mean, I don't necessarily mean with this the huge trans-Pacific agreements, which look to me everything but free trade, but more direct free trade. Free trade in a nutshell means I can trade with you, you can trade with me, and nobody's paying anything for this trade. So that's simple as that. A real free trade agreement is made of very few lines. It doesn't need to be a 1,000-page document. So I think that we need to push in that direction if we want to regain a place in the world economy.
When it comes to rankings or lists like these, we almost always see the Northern European or the Nordic countries claiming the top spots. Is it actually productive for a country like Malaysia to be looking at these as a benchmark when our specific realities are actually so different?
Well, indeed, I think that we have to avoid comparisons that are too far away in also geographically and culturally. And one of the factors, in example, if I look at this specific index that is weighing in favor of Denmark, is the issue of the so-called sustainability. But this, again, for me, requires a lot of subjective evaluations. What does actually mean sustainability? And if sustainability is something that needs to be taken into account to judge competitiveness, then what does really mean to be competitive? And in this, I think that there may be different ideological frameworks at play. And in this specific case, the way sustainability that has been one of the flags for Denmark, and so this has put Denmark up there. But then I think that from a pure economic perspective, judging sustainability as necessarily a driver for competitiveness requires a change in the definition of competitiveness.
On that note then, are smaller countries or economies inevitably disadvantaged when we talk about competitiveness?
No, I don't think so. And if you look, Denmark is indeed a small country. And the second place we find Switzerland, which is also a small country. Among Asian countries, one of the top scorers is Singapore, which is a small country. So I would say that small countries can indeed be facilitated in stepping up because they are more relatively more easy to manage and having less less needs in terms of political management. They may have a more aggressive policy in terms of attractiveness for businesses. So I would say that a small dimension for a country can be an advantage, but everything goes down to the framework in which that you are developing for your country. Legal framework, perception of the political environment, and hard things like infrastructures.
What would you like to leave us with, Carmelo?
That we are not lost for good, that Malaysia has played a very important role in being an attractive hub in the region. So if we want to get back the lost places, we need to rediscover the reasons that made Malaysia great in the past. And on top of them, there was openness toward the foreign world, toward what is not Malaysia, and we need to rediscover that.
Carmelo, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
That was Carmelo Ferlito, CEO at the Center for Market Education, helping us make sense of the world competitiveness rankings, particularly from a regional perspective. Let us know, how can Malaysia's economy become more competitive? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages. Let's see. We have, a number of people have echoed this. Jessica says, remove all corruption and deadwood in the government services. And yes, I agree. I think alongside looking at actual hard economic factors, I think that's one of the challenges that we've been facing for quite some time. We have Kwan saying Malaysia's economic competitiveness will become worse when we are sending skilled foreign workers back and replacing them with unskilled workers. I think our guest earlier, MP Ong Kian Meng, did refer to our reliance on foreign workers and how we really need to get a handle on the situation, right? Like, this has been a challenge for us the last 2 years. And if we don't regain, work out, on the one hand, how to resolve the over-reliance, but on the other hand, how we can treat them better and give them a fair environment in which to do the very important work that they do. Do keep those thoughts coming. If you'd like to weigh in on how can Malaysia's economy become more competitive, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.